Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
But this is a tough group, great defensively. And the mustache, football mustache, 11 on each side.
Yeah, the crustache. And he pays homage to a large turnout of the Rambler faithful. What a matchup they have coming up next with Illinois.
Sidelines, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That is your schedule tomorrow. We have some NCAA stuff. And we know Sunday's Illini Loyola game, 11 a.m. on CBS Channel 2, gets the A-team that you just heard. And by the way, there's some interesting things for the NCAA that we're just going to talk about now, but it is a cesspool. It is down there with FIFA and the IOC. It's despicable. And all you need to see is how they treat the difference between men and women. This whole thing should be blown up. It's a fraud. It's run by schools that are full of crap. The women's weight room was an issue. Read our friend Nancy Armour. She's been on the show. She's a fellow Trash Panda supporter. She writes for USA Today. And she was writing about how just sick and stupid and completely unaware the NCAA is by giving the men all this weight room, and then they give women their workout room is like a mat and a little pyramid of weights. And now they've given them a full weight room with soft mood lighting, as Nancy tweeted out. This ain't a mani-pedi salon. It's a weight room. The NCAA is just sick. It needs to be blown up. Just go away, because you're despicable. You're dirty. You are not. You're a fraud. You're not about amateur sports. You're about making all the money you can off unpaid labor. Okay. Anyways, Mark, tomorrow, Illinois, Loyola. Illinois would normally be an underdog because they are like, have struggled to have success in basketball, and Loyola is the underdog. So you like this, you don't like this, you like, from a viewer standpoint, you're all in favor of it. That's why the NCAA did this.
I'm in favor of it. Like, I do think, I was just talking to Julio off the air about this, I do think that Illinois will ultimately win that game by double digits. I think it'll be close in the first half, but Illinois, and I kind of got on the bandwagon late in the season, but I guess that was the right time because they've been so good. They always feel like they're on the verge of blowing teams out, even when it's close. It always feels like Illinois, we saw more of it yesterday, where they are able to, and obviously that's Drexel and that's a 16 seed, they are so good at imposing their will on other teams and running the style they want. They control games. And that's why it always feels like they are on the verge of blowing teams out. And unfortunately for Loyola, it doesn't give me great pleasure to say. I just think that Illinois will eventually run away in that game. I think it'll, like I said, I think it'll be close by the first half and then double digits when, once it's all over.
They look befuddled. Loyola looked befuddled by the four guard lineup that Georgia Tech went with because they're without their best player. And they got caught, and then they rebounded, and then they slowly got back to being the better team, and they learned. I think that it was, if you're watching that at first, you go, oh my God, they're just caught off guard. What are they going to do? And then you saw they could adjust, in-game adjustments. That's huge. That shows growth. That shows maturity. So I think there's that hope. But boy, Kofi and Ayo and Curbelo. It's just that's more than the Bulls have. I mean, the Bulls don't have those three. So that's really
I love their style too. Like Illinois, like especially Ayo. Ayo, if you noticed, it seems like a lot lately, and it's good. This is a good thing. He's really playing that superstar role where he wants everybody involved. If Kofi is just going to dominate down low, they'll just go there all day long. But when it comes down to crunch time towards the end of games and you certainly don't want Kofi to the free throw line a lot, it's like, okay, it's Ayo time. Or to a lesser degree, Curbelo and his ability to create and penetrate. It's just it's a perfect game plan, and Ayo is gonna make a good NBA player too, because he's patient. He doesn't, while he needs the ball, he's not like really, really needy of it. You know what I mean? Like he waits his turn. He knows exactly when to score without forcing it and just being one of those volume guys.
So are you? How are your circadian rhythms with this Friday-Monday thing instead of the usual Thursday-Sunday? I'm thrown off by it, even though in a year where everything has been thrown off, I'm thrown off by this. That here we are, we're on Saturday, but it's still the first round. No, stop that.
Well,
I'm a little off. And then there's going to be like weekday rounds. I'm How are you doing with this?
Well, I'm probably doing a little better than you, it sounds, because I'm so conditioned to everything being ridiculous in terms of the sports schedule. You know what I mean? Like, everything has been so out of whack in every single... So I'm still also in the I'm just happy to have it mode. Like, I haven't lost my appreciation for the fact that sports has been pretty full force throughout a pandemic, you know? So, like, I guess I am not as thrown off as much. But I get what you're saying. I mean, yeah, it wasn't the same not having, you know, waking up to essentially games on a Thursday and a Friday. Right. And I have no idea what's what. Like, Julio had to tell me when the Illinois game, Illinois-Loyola, what time it was. Because I thought it was later in the afternoon. So I am out of whack. But I'm more conditioned to accept it.
They're starting with that 11 a.m. on CBS Channel 2. So, anyways, this is how we've... In a sense, come full circle. We saw the 5-12, the 12-5 upset used to be the shocker. It used to be the guaranteed. You always had to pick one or two or three or whatever you had to do. That's where the upsets were. And then the 13-4s became the new 12-5, and the 12-5 became a cliche. And then now we're back to 12-5. So yesterday, Rick Barnes takes the fifth-ranked Tennessee Volunteers against the Oregon State, the 12th-seeded Oregon State Beavers, and he loses. That gave him a dirty dozen. Thanks to Athlon Sports football analyst Brian Fisher, Rick Barnes has now been eliminated in the NCAA tournament by a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and now 12th seed.
Wow.
That means he's around. How do you get that many jobs? Yeah, I've been eliminated by every seed 1 through 12.
He must have a really good resume, man. Like, how can we turn this into a positive?
Yeah. Right.
Give me one sentence for this resume. How can we bundle? Oh, been to the NCAA tournament 7 times or whatever it is.
And 12 times to be eliminated by all those seeds.
Yeah. It takes a lot. Yeah.
By the way, a couple of years ago, it was University of Maryland, whatever that was, UMBC, and I can't remember what it was. Baltimore County, UMBC, when they had the upset. I think they were a 16-1 upset, right? They're 16-1, and their social media became the star of the tournament for a week. And a lot of other schools have followed that. So now Oregon State's official account after the 12-seeded Beavers upset 5-seed Tennessee, what they tweeted out was a shot of the Monopoly title deed of Tennessee Avenue with the comment, "New owners." How good is that?
Not bad. Not bad.
Speaking of upsets, this is the best, especially because Ohio State fans suck. Some of them. So
except for Mike Chen. Be nice to Mike Chen.
15 seed Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts stunned the number 2 Buckeyes. And everybody went with this line. Everybody had the original line. Oral Roberts has more wins over Ohio State than Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, God.
Everybody went with that. That was everywhere.
I did not go with that. So I'm glad to hear it for the first time.
Me neither. So then there was, this is what's really another reason it becomes so despicable, the NCAA and these kind of things. So the Ohio State schmucks set upon Ohio State forward E.J. Liddell. There were a couple angry fans. It's not all of them, obviously, but it's just some people who would act out like this, that they, after, because Liddell was the one sharing screenshots after they got upset. One fan threatened to find him and physically attacked him. Another fan wrote, "You are such a bleeping disgrace. Don't ever show your face at Ohio State. We hate you. I hope you die. I really do." And Liddell chose to share that with comments, "Don't get to me, but I just want to know why. I've never done anything to anyone in my life to be approached like this. This is not me saying anything negative about Ohio State fans. I love you all dearly, and I felt nothing but appreciated since the first day I stepped on the campus. I just, to be that serious, to be that insane about it, and the guy, as E.J. Liddell says, I'm human." And it's just awful. It's just, you read that and you go, again, I don't want nothing to do with
kids. Yeah, it's funny. Like, my response to that is... Yeah. As it always is I cannot, and I hope that most of our listeners say this too, I cannot relate to that feeling that would put me in that spot as a fan to be that angry and that caustic and that personal. You know what I mean? Like, I actually, so it makes me think, like, that's a person, and not joking around, not just trying to play radio here, that person has a real problem. You know what I mean? Like, that is a mental issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, something that for which you need to see a doctor, because that is irrational, objectively irrational behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I can't take that seriously. Maybe I've become numb to it. Thank God I've become numb to it, to understand that it's where it is in priorities. I mean, you've gone through a year of a pandemic, and this is what you're doing. You're threatening a man's life.
Yeah,
over a basketball,
you can be a
game.
Fan, you can be an idiot, you
which
can yell and
some
scream
good
and
numbers,
hate.
By the way, yeah, I just,
yeah, you can do all that stuff, because we do a lot of that stuff, but when it crosses over to that, I can't relate, so I don't have a lot to say other than I hope that person gets help.
And we're going to end on this note. This was a classic. It's now, it will go down in the NCAA Tournament Hall of Broadcasting Fame. And it's from the Ohio State Oral Roberts game. Buckeye has taken a shot. I don't know who it is, because it really doesn't matter. And the ball settled softly between the backboard and the rim, and it got stuck. And here's Ian Eagle on the call.
Washington lets it fly. Oh, an overtime wedgie! What are the odds?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. The shot and your call.
And I don't think Ohio State was expecting it, because Oral Roberts takes over.
Ian Eagle and Grant Hill wasn't expecting it. Overtime wedgie.
I mean, that's you cannot script that. So thumbs up.
Yes.
Some stuff you could script in sports and play-by-play, and it happens, but that ain't scripted. Thumbs up, Ian Eagle.
Overtime wedgie. Well, we're going to get an overtime wedgie because we ran over on this segment, and we're late for Rick Camp. Rick's going to be in here. He hosts the Bulls post-game show right here on The Score. We'll talk some Bulls. We'll talk some March Fatness with one of the co-hosts, co-founders of the I'm Fat podcast. This is a national day on two food fronts, and we need to get Rick to weigh in on them. You should pardon the phrase. Did you see what I did there? Weigh in on
that. This is why you have the tenure that you have at this radio station. Steve, I just learn from you. That's what I do on Saturdays. I just learn.
Okay. Oh, this sucks.
I miss you too, by the way. I was talking about Emma. I miss you too and seeing your face.
No, you're allowed
to
miss Emma. That's okay. I miss.
No, you and I ate Brazilian meat together. Like it feels like it was so long ago, and I'd like to do that again with you at some point.
We'll get the swords out. That's it. We'll do that.
Yep.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Levine. Dribbles to his right, outside three-point arc, double on the ball. Levine tied up, leans in, and the jumper way short, rebound Barton, and this ball game is over. And the Bulls fall in overtime, 131 to 127.
That sound of disgust. Chuck Swirsky, the Swirsk. Final call of the Bulls game heard last night on The Score. That was followed by Humana, Humana, Humana and the Rick Camp post-game show. Welcome into The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. We're broadcasting from The Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. And we are going to talk Bulls because that's what we just played. And we have a sad story of a pattern. Let's go to the Score hotline presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. And we welcome in Rick Camp, Rick, I was so glad the Bulls got off to a big lead yesterday. And they took a lead in the fourth quarter and it's 14 points. They really need to show they rebounded from what happened against San Antonio. And look at this, So, what did you make of what happened last night, Rick Camp?
Well, it wasn't great, that's for sure.
Thank you for clarifying.
I mean, they actually kind of obliged for this show. You know, if you're going to talk Bulls show, you might as well just give that kind of a performance. You know, it's not surprising, just the fact of, and Billy Donovan mentioned it after the game, that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic have won games where their team has struggled for long stretches. They know how to get them. I think he even used the term over the hump, and the Bulls still have to learn how to do that. I mean, also just the Nuggets are a much better team than the Spurs, especially when the Spurs didn't have DeMar DeRozan. So the Bulls' fourth quarter struggles, and in the last month, their net rating in the fourth quarter, -26.9. For those keeping score at home, not good. It's last in the league by a wide margin. The next closest is the Orlando Magic, -20.6. And at least the Magic have like five or six rotation guys out. So the Bulls have been beyond abysmal for about a month in the fourth quarter.
Good God. Why? Is it just because they're a young team and young teams don't know how to win and finish? Is it that simple, or is there anything else to this?
There's definitely more to it. I think a good amount of it is these players are young and they're learning. But the thing is, for some of them, I mean, why are you not learning from your mistakes? It's one thing if there's different mistakes happening. But when, like, how many times in a fourth quarter, and even though Kobe White's in his second year, do we need to see a jump pass where he gets to the, oh, crap, I have nobody to throw it to, but I already jumped, so the ball ends up going out of bounds, and it ends up being a turnover one way or another. Or sometimes the Bulls just kind of get stagnant, and they give the ball to Zach LaVine and just watch him. and the ball movement stops and the player movement stops. And when this Bulls offense has been really good, it's when there's off-ball movement. It's when there are cutters. It's when you give the ball handler options. And the Bulls sometimes just find themselves in a rut, and they don't do that. And I think that's the part that's worst about it, is they don't know how to stop the ball, the snowball from going downhill once it starts. And that's the part that I think some of it is just innate to players. Some players just kind of have, like, when you're trying to find the it factor, as much as that sucks for us because you can't really define it, is guys just know what to do, get an easy basket. And sometimes just getting to the free throw line can be that thing that can break that streak. The Bulls are a jump shooting team. They're 27th in free throw rate over the course of this entire season. The only teams below them are OKC, Orlando, and Memphis. So they don't get easy buckets, and they also are 25th in terms of allowing free throw rate. So they let the other team get to the line. So when the Bulls are having good defensive stretches, they let the other team still get some points, just easy buckets from the free throw line. So that's it. They lower their own floor offensively by being such a jump shooting team that doesn't get to the line, and they raise the floor of the other team's offense.
Are they also affected, Rick, by the fact that although Satoransky is a better point guard than Kobe White was or is, that they still don't have like that classic point guard that could restore order when they need it most?
Yeah, they definitely need that. And for people that are still on the Lonzo Ball train, I don't think Lonzo Ball is that either. Because Lonzo Ball is a fantastic ball mover in the half court and a good point guard when it comes to being on the break. But he's not a guy that's going to get to the rim for you. Stan Van Gundy said when you're on the break, he's a point guard. When you're in the half court, he's a spot up wing. So for people that are thinking with the trade deadline only a few days away, well, maybe you get Lonzo Ball in here. I don't know that Lonzo Ball is that adult in the room. I don't tend to think that he's that guy for what the Bulls need. And I don't even think they necessarily need the most traditional of traditional point guards. They just need someone that can get you into a set and be another ball handler and playmaker, because the Bulls need that. Like, Sato is not a guy that's really going to get to the bucket very often, but he can get you into some sets.
Sure.
And he gives you a little bit of versatility defensively. Like, there's so many things. And I know Darnell Mayberry said, well, maybe we should finally start looking at Billy Donovan. And I think one thing people should try and keep in mind about Billy Donovan, when he came in, there was nobody saying this is a top 10 coach in the league. Essentially, it was saying, hey, the Bulls went from the worst coach in the NBA by a mile to an average coach. Even though the bar was so low and the Bulls have cleared it by so much, that doesn't make Billy Donovan a great coach. I don't think he's a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination, but he's fine. Like, that's what it is. The Bulls have an average coach now. Billy Donovan is not going to win you anything necessarily. He's not necessarily going to lose you anything. He's in the blob of most NBA coaches, where they do enough so that the players can be in a position to succeed. It's just finally about time that it's on the players now.
Well, that brings up a point I wanted to discuss. We're talking basketball such as the Bulls play it with Rick Camp. He's the host of the Scores postgame show. You'll hear him tomorrow night after they play the Pistons right here. They start at 6 on the Score. So, Rick, the idea of when players show you who they are, believe them. Maybe when coaches show you who they are, believe them, or maybe it's too early. That's what I want to ask you. When you see a team that consistently turns over the ball, one of the worst in the league, and does it and has not shown any improvement on any consistent basis, and when you see that same team show the same kind of lack of discipline in fouling three-point shooters, players, coaches, are they showing you what they are, what they're capable of? They're not smart. They can't coach it into them. They can't coach it out of them. What do you make of this, or is it too early?
I put it more on the players than anything else, because if you think of this year as a science experiment, the players were the constant this year. Everything else was the variable.
Yeah.
Bringing in the coach, bringing in the new front office. So now it's kind of on the players. And one thing that I think, just because of the nature of this regular season and how compact it is and how little prep time there is game in and game out, if it was more of a regular season, teams would be game planning the Bulls a little harder. And what the Spurs did was essentially say, we dare you to make a quick decision. And when there was press, and when even Zach LaVine, along with Coby White, along with pretty much everybody else, were forced into quicker decisions or decisions at a space in the floor where they weren't as comfortable, that's when the turnovers happened. And one thing I've always said, and mind you, Zach LaVine should get all the credit in the world for improving as much as he has. However, I don't think he has the best basketball instincts in the world. He has all the ability, but his basketball instincts are what truly keeps him from being an elite, elite, elite player in the NBA. Along with, and that goes into a lot of the defensive acumen that he lacks as well. So I put a lot of this more on the players. You've had multiple voices saying this to you. I mean, Wendell Carter's brought up how even someone like Arturis Karnašovas is they're working with players. So you have multiple voices coming at you now, but you know, when you're in the moment, the same things are happening. And at this point, it's going to be on the players. So I think, you know, the next shoe to drop, whether it's this deadline or more likely this off season, is player movement, so that now this new front office can say, okay, let's bring in some of our type of guys and see if this can work better.
Well, I am thinking too, as it all sort of intertwines with player movement and the fact that Otto Porter had himself a good game last night. 22 points, a couple of big shots in the fourth. He had that fancy step back. He looked good. Is Porter, what's the plan for Otto Porter?
Probably move him.
Yeah.
I would think
at the deadline, you think? At the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if they move him, it would be to probably pick up like a second round pick, and he wouldn't be viewed as too much more than just the expiring salary that he is. It depends on what the Bulls want to do. If they want to say, hey, we're willing, because this free agent class isn't near as good as it looked like it was going to be, hey, we're willing to take on maybe an extra year of money at a number close to what Otto Porter's is, but in exchange, we get a first round pick. Cool. They might do that. Or they might just say, hey, we'll get what we can for him and try and maintain flexibility, all that. So I think he's going to be gone. I think actually this 2-4 stretch out of the All-Star break is probably good for the Bulls, because not being willing to move a guy like Thad Young, whose value is never going to be higher, not being willing to move a guy like Sato is kind of crazy to me. For what? To what end? If this team was improving in those endgame scenarios, then I would say, okay, maybe there's something to the culture aspect of this, and that these guys are learning how to win. But that just hasn't happened, or it hasn't happened enough to where I think it's worth giving up whatever potential value you could get in terms of draft capital that could be used to, you know, give a new front office and a new scouting department opportunities to bring in their own guys, or to be able to sweeten a package for a star that you would want to bring in.
We're talking with Rick Camp here on The Score, talking Bulls basketball, but now we want to change the subject to something more fun, more interesting, March Fatness. Now,
more
I know
successful.
You guys are running. Yes, you share with that, because I have a March Fatness, one single matchup, because this is two national food days in one. But I want to make sure that everybody listening understands how March Fatness works. So share with the class that, then I'll bring it back to what these national days are.
Well, this is the fourth annual March Fatness bracket, which is part of the I'm Fat podcast. It's where we determine one thing every year that joins the Onion Ring of Honor, which is currently occupied by pizza, bacon, and Andy Reid. And there's been enough and there has been enough of the pizza and bacon where there is still some with Andy Reid in the Onion Ring of Honor. So what happens is Jay Zawoski gets a region of the bracket. I get a region of the bracket. We have a celebrity who gets a region of the bracket, who this year is former Simpsons writer Bill Oakley.
That's excellent.
Yeah, if you go back and see the seasons excellent. Where that he was a writer and a showrunner from, it's like peak Simpsons. So
and
that
peak
and
food.
He does Yeah, and he does a bunch of food stuff on his Instagram at that Bill Oakley, where he does reviews, he writes about food, so it was a perfect matchup. And then we always have kind of an oddball region, and this year it's fast food menu items. So we put it up on our Twitter at I'm Fat Pod, and we have votes. We normally get, you know, we'll get at least a few hundred people that are voting on each matchup, and we let the people decide. We pick what's in our regions, we give them the seeds, and then let the people decide what makes it into the Onion Ring of Honor.
Hey, well, did Bill Oakley write the Simpsons episode where Homer is wearing a muumuu, like a fat guy muumuu, and he has to drive around in one of those?
I don't know. Well, we use stuff from that episode, though, because one of the newest things that we have on the podcast is we have the fat phone. So the drop that we use going into playing the voicemails is the fingers you have used to dial are too fat.
Oh, yeah.
If you would like to order a dialing wand, mash the keypad now.
That's so good. There's
we are through round one. So starting Monday, we will be in the round of 32, who will determine who's in the sweaty 16.
Okay, so as we move along, I love this whole thing. Today is National Corn Dog Day. It is also National Ravioli Day.
Ooh.
This sounds like a bracket challenge.
That's
you good with corn dogs, Campy? Are you a corn dog guy or not?
Am I good with corn dogs? I mean, what does that even mean? Yes.
Well, I don't know. I saw a picture of you on Twitter today denying like chocolate or something, or saying you didn't.
No, it was the nutter butter.
Yeah.
Oh, it was peanut butter. You don't like
peanut
butter? Well, see, that's a weird thing to not like.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
No,
so
I
think
peanut butter sucks. It smells awful. It tastes worse. You can get peanut butter all the way out of here, launch it into the sun, and it'll still be too close.
All right. So one last thing. Utah State's Marco Anthony.
Our guy.
Yes. And it's a wonderful story. So as long as you know who he is and what he did, please share with the class.
Yeah. I don't know if like a reporter got a tip or something about this, but someone asked him, why did you decide the number 44? And he said, because he loves the 4-for-4 meal at Wendy's, which, I mean, you can't deny the logic.
No.
The logic is right there. I wish we had learned this sooner so he could have made it into the March Fatness bracket. He could have replaced, like, our guy last year. It was Big Al Delia from the Little League World Series. I hit dingers kid. That who was, you know, fan favorite. Didn't go far in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I want to give one update to the tournament because this is an entrant that's been in there every year but has underperformed. And I think this might be the Virginia after like bounce back after losing the 16-1. In my region, the 11 seed Gold Bond got a big win over the Rockets version of James Harden this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Gold Bond has underperformed in this tournament. And I think Gold Bond might be in for a run this year.
We look forward to that. And I think Marco Anthony should be the name of a bracket next year in honor of what he had done.
Maybe we can hit him up and he can be the celebrity next year, maybe.
That'd be excellent. Yeah, and that would be great. And one last note, because this was passed along, and police scanners are wonderful things. And the Omaha scanner, because this was just tweeted out. The male passed out while waiting for his taco pizza.
Been there.
That's all.
Maybe not a taco pizza. Maybe not a taco pizza specifically, but taco related products. Absolutely, especially in college, because when you're in college, what do you want more when it's 2 a.m. than Mexican food?
That's right. There
Nothing.
You go.
That's exactly what you want. Mm. So Steve, do you have a Flabby Four? Do you have a Flabby Four prediction?
That should be a matchup. That should be one of the entrants next year. 2 a.m. tacos. I think that should be a.
That would be good.
By the way, one guy for future consideration that you should just kind of poke around on, maybe read up on, is one Dan Vogelback. Vogelback, right? Like, he's just getting bigger by the day.
Yeah.
Like, and if his success continues, that's just something to consider.
Yeah, there is no one that wants the Universal DH more than him.
Totally, totally.
He wants it like a, he loves it like a fat kid love cake. All right.
Which is the number one seed in my region this year because everything cake. Is cake now. You can't cake. Prove to me that things are not cake when you can take a knife and slice into literally anything and find out it's cake.
It's cake. It's all cake. You're right. That was well played. Rick, good luck with the I'm Fat podcast and the March Fatness bracket. I think it'll be far better than what we've seen with the Bulls, but they have another chance to actually protect the lead come Sunday against the Pistons, and we'll listen to you afterwards. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye, Rick. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know what – did you have something you had planned coming up? Because I have something I want to do that we didn't talk about on the show.
I'd like to
talk about with you right now.
And well, we can do that. We'll take a break, and if we take a break, can we come back? Will we have enough time to talk about whatever you want to talk about?
Well, it's somebody I want to get on the radio here, and it'll only take like 5 minutes. Maybe you want me to just surprise you?
Sure. We might as well just, this whole production, as long as we're doing the whole production meeting on the air, we might as well just do unexpected radio. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, then Julio, talk to me during the break, okay? Thanks.
Yeah, okay. So that's it.
Yeah.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. And it's not like we haven't earned it. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome in. Welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Saturday Suckage. And it's time for Mark's surprise. Hi, Mark.
Well, so far I have failed in this surprise.
That sucks, Mark.
That does suck. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get our college basketball expert, gambling expert, Eli Hershkovich, to come on the radio.
He might be a little tied up today.
Yeah, he's probably a little tied up.
Small play on this money line. Small play on second half, this and that, and the other thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's Well, I think he's mad at me, and I actually, like, feel bad for some. I don't know what it is. Like, if it's, like, I'm a little tired today. Like, I just feel bad. Like, yesterday, I filled in for Matt Spiegel, and I was on with Danny Parkins, and we decided to have a little fun with Eli, where we had him on for a college basketball segment. But we didn't ask him one question about college basketball. And we took him away from his games and his gambling. And I think he was a little dismayed as he walked out of the studio. I heard he said his quote was, "What was that?" And so I haven't heard back from him. So I fear he's angry with me. And I wanted to clear this up with Eli because I love Eli. And, I don't want to lose him.
I don't want to lose him all. Okay, well.
Yeah, so that's what's up.
Trying. You could text him and say, we have a little over an hour in which he can apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize, as Sammy would say. So he could you could apologize. You could bring him on. We could all talk it out, hug it out, bitches. And we could
hopefully. I hope. Like, I haven't heard. Like, I'm like, is he really mad or is he radio mad? Like,
I would not come on, not because I'm mad, but just because I'm busy. I mean, this is his Super Bowl. This is the when the ATM machine hopefully receives a lot of deposits, because this is what he spends all year working towards and tries to find edges and margins and things like that. That's what they all do. And when you've hit about 53% plus of your bets, you've made money, and this is a chance to, if college basketball is your thing, the way it really is with Eli, though he knows other sports, this is it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And sometimes I have found this with myself. If I'm mad at somebody or irritated with somebody, I don't want to hear from them. Sometimes you just need time to be mad at them and let it run its course, and then you're cool. You know what I mean? Like, don't be bugging me. Don't be asking me if you're mad. Are you mad? No, just let me be mad for a while, and then we'll be done with it. So maybe I should take my own advice and just leave him alone, and he'll come back around at some point in time.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here. The Eli hotline is open.
Good.
Should he want to actually talk college basketball? It'd be good. I'd love to know what he has to say about Illinois Loyola. I hear they're playing.
Yeah,
is that
actually
true? Are they playing?
They are playing, and I would too. We would ask them all college basketball questions.
All right. Well, that potentially for next hour, Also next hour, we're going to do What Are You Doing, Wegner? We have some wonderful items for that. We also had a perfectly representational example of Saturday suckage last week. And it wasn't having Les on, but it was related to having the Grobber on. And so we talked about the Lee Elia rant because the Cubs were going to have a 20% of the people in, 80% of the seats open, which sound like the Lee Elia part of the rant of 85% of the people work in this city, the other 15 come down to boo us. So I thought they should call it the Lee Elia thing. We had Les on to talk about Lee Elia and the whole story behind it because he was the only one who walked off with the tape. And then we never played the full Lee Elia rant. Which just it sucks. So we're going to make up for it in the next hour. We will play
Lee
Elia rant.
Does Kenny Lofton Jr., does that mean anything to you?
It means he's the son of Kenny Lofton, the White Sox legend.
Oh, my God. He plays basketball?
Well, so did Kenny Lofton Sr.
Well, no, but you got to see this guy. I'll retweet. I will send it out. Like, I'm looking at my guy. But we should have discussed. Let's just put it this way. We should have talked to Rick Camp about him.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that Kenny Lofton. Steve Kerr one time told me something. I wrote in the paper about Kenny Lofton, you know, being a far better baseball player than basketball player, and Kenny Lofton didn't like it. And Steve Kerr said Kenny Lofton came back at him, got mad about something. I was like, how do you be mad at Opie? How can you be mad at Opie Taylor of the NBA? Anyways, we'll do all that crap next hour. Saturday suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.